Hi, and I'm Neil Ronahan, and welcome to episode 325 of Nintendo World Report's podcast, Connectivity. I'm joined, as always, after John actually had a week off. I mean, so did everybody, consequently.
You'll notice that when I take a week off, Neil doesn't just record an episode without me. He just doesn't have an episode. It's the difference in our commitment levels.
Yeah. There were intentions, but Zach was in Florida, and that made it tough. There was an attempt made to do something, but it did not pan out. But now we're back for episode 325, and we're going to talk about a little game called Metroid Prime Federation Force. And yes. We thought, I guess, there's no anniversary to it. There's just the hope, the dream that we'll be able to talk about Metroid Prime soon, someday.
This episode will come out on the day that Mario Strikers comes out, which is made by the same developer as this game.
Hey, so there's your coincidence. Tie-in. Yep. Yeah, cool. But we figured it'd be better to pull from outside of our realm of our closed-minded Nintendo fans that really like this game and go to Metroid fans who may or may not like this game. So joining us is from Shinesparkers, Roy Boy X, or just simply, for the rest of the podcast, Roy.
Hi.
Welcome. Now, I have intentionally not asked you this question yet. Do you like Metroid Prime Federation Force?
In my own way, yes.
Okay.
It's taken some time, but I now have an appreciation for it to the extent that I can.
So I take it that when it was announced, you weren't giddy.
No.
Did you riot? Did you protest outside the Los Angeles Convention Center during E3?
No. So what happened
okay,
was
that's good.
I had rushed home from a prior commitment, and I think I had just missed it, the announcement airing during the direct. And I tuned it, I joined IRC and was frantically typing, "Is she back?" She being Samus. And then they told me, no, there's a spinoff of Metroid. So then I rewound the direct, saw it, and thought, that basically sums up how I reacted to it at first.
I definitely have a memory of being, maybe not, I want to say like positive, but like hopeful, maybe. Because I think I was maybe in part of that optimistic group that was like, well, maybe they'll do more. Maybe they're going to announce more Metroid things pretty soon. And it would be another 2 years until we got any kind of Metroid things. But rewatching that trailer where they revealed it, it's less than a minute long in the middle of this direct with really no kind of setup or explanation. It's just like, here's a bunch of chibi robots, or, you know, chibi robots with humans in it that you don't care about. There might be enemies that are familiar, but this is pretty much nothing that you know about Metroid.
Yes. Well, and the thing we should also highlight is that the first appearance of it, which they didn't tell us this is what it was, but this was one of the years where they did the Nintendo World Championships at E3.
Yeah, E3 2015. I don't know if we spelled out that year.
The first instance we saw of it was Blast Ball, which is the kind of Rocket League. Well, we say Rocket League. In fact, Rocket League is just a ripoff of Buckball from Buck Bumble, of course. So it all comes back to that.
If memory serves, I think Rocket League came, this was June 2015. I think Rocket League came out on, because it was a PS Plus game at launch, I think. I think Rocket League came out in August that year.
So you're saying that Rocket League was a ripoff of Metroid Prime Federation Force.
I mean, technically, Soccer or whatever was before, basically like the same developers of Rocket League made a worse predecessor to Rocket League that did not catch on. And then I feel like it's like they just went to like some good brand marketing firms and were like, okay, we have this really cool idea. How do we get it to work?
It's the Fall Guys thing. Being free on PlayStation Plus helps.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But yeah, so that was our first glimpse of it. And we didn't know for sure what it was, but you and I were physically in the same room when this happened.
Yeah. In retrospect, it's really obvious that it's Metroid. I mean, it kind of was very obvious at the time because the UI is just Metroid Prime, but also the game after it. So the Nintendo World Championships, I don't have like the run of show directly on hand, but it did kind of like a here's a new game, here's a retro game. And they were kind of paired.
Mm-hmm.
And they paired Blast Ball. And like so that was like Blast Ball was like the main round. And then I think there was an elimination round after that. The elimination round game was Super Metroid. So okay. Like those were like part of the same round. So like I looked at that and was like, huh. Yeah, but also you look at the UI is just Metroid Prime. Like there's no mistaking what Blast Ball looked like.
Yeah. Yeah. Still a weird way to reveal a Metroid game.
Yeah. Now, Roy, what is your, I guess, experience in the like Metroid fandom and community? Like what brought you, I guess, like what was your entry point into the Metroid series? And then what brought you to go, you know, deeper into it and be a part of Shinesparkers?
So like a lot of people, I discovered Metroid through Smash Bros, specifically Brawl. I played the Super Metroid Masterpiece, the like 3 minute long demo. Liked it enough that I bought the full game, played through it, finished it, and then from there started playing the rest of the Metroid games. Around this time, I started editing Wikitroid, the Metroid Wiki, and I've been there ever since. In 2010, Shinesparkers was founded, but it wasn't until 2017 that I joined. And since then, I've worked with our creative director, Darren, on a lot of awesome content.
Awesome.
You guys did like the, I guess for if anybody's listening who's not familiar with Shinesparkers, I think the way that I first encountered you guys was through your Harmony of a Hunter albums, plural.
Yes.
Now, which is like incredible. There's like a Smash Bros. One, too. They're incredible. It's just like a collection of a bunch of different composers doing arrangements of Metroid music. There is a Federation Force one on the second album. And I was so like, I remember like listening through it and hearing the Federation Force theme and being like, oh, somebody else played Federation Force and knows the music.
There's at least four others that, right. that might have heard of it.
Yeah, like this is great. But yeah, they're very good.
It important to Darren and the so I wasn't directly involved with the albums, but I would get updates on its mm-hmm. development as it progressed. It was important that they have music representing every game in the series, including Federation Force, and they even had a track based on Metroid Dread even before we had the full soundtrack.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. That's cool. When did the second album come out? Was it Had Dread been announced?
August 6, 2021. So
okay.
They had been making it for over a year, but they added a Dread track last minute from, Darren would probably know this better, but like, I think whoever composed it listened to some gameplay footage from Dread and then went from there.
That is impressive.
Yeah, we had the trailer and then we had some treehouse footage, I think, around that time. So
yeah,
definitely would have been there's stuff there that you would have been able to build something off of. I can see that process.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I know for me with Shinesparkers, I appreciate the interviews that you guys have done with any number of former Metroid developers. I know the Brian Walker one recently.
Yes.
That was a really, really good one.
Yeah, that was really cool to be able to talk to him. And the interviews are my favorite part of the site. Obviously, harder to put together than, you know, our other content, but that's purely down to people responding when we ask. And, if a game is very recent, like Dread, they'll still be under an NDA and they can't talk mm-hmm. to us. Even if their NDA is expired, some people will not want to just because they're concerned about career setbacks and whatnot. But yeah, I love doing the interviews.
It's cool. It's there aren't that many Nintendo franchises where there's a significant like arm of the franchise where the developers all speak English, which like that's whenever I want to do like an interview, like if I want to do an interview about a game, it's so much like it's nice when you find somebody where it's like, oh, cool, this game was made by an English speaking developer. This will be way easier. So like with the Metroid Prime series, like all those guys, like former Retro Studios guys. And I know you guys interviewed the composer for Metroid Prime Hunters as well. So it's
that's right. Lawrence Schredler.
Yes. Yeah, that was actually really interesting. But yeah, there aren't that many Nintendo games where the developers speak English as their first language.
I mean, yeah, and it took a while for, I mean, just thinking of other ones is, I mean, near and dear to your heart, John, Star Fox with like Dylan Cuthbert and Giles Goddard. And they were like steel traps probably until the NDAs expired.
Because they'll tell you anything now. Yeah, they're open books now.
I just remember, like, I think it was, it also might have been like too close to the DSiWare stuff that Q Games did. But I just remember like reaching out to Dylan and being like, dude, DigiDrive is so cool. You want to talk? And he's like, no. And now I feel like if you were to ask him, he would just like reply with like, here's the entire development history of this video game.
Yes.
Later in your career, you get to a point where you're also probably just like, eh, screw it. What are they going to do?
Right. Yeah. Well, he got the rights back to Tomorrow Children. So he's happily just making his own game. Nintendo can't do anything to him anymore. Yep.
But we are getting to that point with a lot of those old Retro Studios people, because I mean, I think there's a handful of people that are still around, or at least, you know, were involved with the first three Prime games that are, you know, still there working on four, but it's not a huge amount. So you definitely have a lot of people, especially from the, I'm blanking on their name, the guys who went to go form Armature, Jack Matthews,
Todd Keller and Mark Pacini.
Yeah, who all dramatically left after three, got escorted off the premises. I think that after a certain point, they're probably a little bit more of an open book about their past with the series.
Well, I have heard that Mark Pacini is not interested in talking about Metroid anymore. There was a very famous interview that he gave where he said that the games suck. What he means is because he was so involved with them and, you know, the ins and outs of them as their creator, he only sees their flaws. And so he can't enjoy them, you know, just as a fan.
Yeah, that's extremely relatable.
I don't remember exactly who it was, but I know I've heard from other developers on Prime that it might have even been him, like that they have trouble thinking back fondly on the games because of like, especially the first game had like a really rough development cycle.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of crunch. It's been well documented.
Yeah, so I know a lot of those guys are just like, yeah, it's not great memories. Like, made a good game, but like the memories of making it aren't super positive.
Well, it does depend from person to person. Some people do have more positive experiences, but hopefully it can serve as a cautionary tale to new games being developed, including Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah, yes. Which they're certainly have some time.
Yeah, they're taking their time.
They have had a lot of time, yes.
Yeah. They're still, we could start it over a few more times.
Don't anybody else jinx want to take it, a crack man. At this game? Don't jinx it.
But I guess a little bit of a plug for you guys at Shinesparkers. I know I sent in my ballot for the community's favorite Metroid game of the year.
Yes, we are currently running a poll for the Metroid community to vote on their favorite Metroid game. You can go to our website, shinesparkers.net, and I think the first news post on the front page has a link. It might also be on our Twitter.
I know that's where I got to it from. We'll have to...
Yeah.
Well, after the show, I'll have to send you over what Condorcet is. It's basically like ranked choice voting that we started using for everything. Because if I did have one bone to pick, it's that, man, picking just one game is really harsh.
You want to be able to rank the entire list?
Yeah, no, because I think I went for Super Metroid. It was between that or Dread for my one and two.
Yeah.
Did you vote, John?
I don't... I need to get more time away from Dread before I can decide if it's the best one. Because, like, it's definitely my favorite 2D Metroid, but I don't know if it eclipses the Prime games yet. Or obviously Federation Force, well known as the best Metroid game.
The pinnacle Metroid title.
That and Metroid Prime Hunters really just, like, bastions of their field.
Listen, Metroid Prime Hunters is legit. Like, Federation Force, I get if you don't like it. Hunters is a legitimately good game.
And it's also, like, really good for what it was on a portable at its time.
Yeah, it looks incredible. It's also, like, the highest budget DS game.
And it has, didn't it have voice chat, online leaderboards, yes, like, on a website? Yes, it had voice chat,
online, yeah, voice chat for online multiplayer on the DS, which is, like, Nintendo can't do that now. They forgot to do it.
They don't let NST do anything anymore, so they just forgot.
They really shafted them a lot.
Yeah. Should we talk about Metroid Prime Federation Force?
Yeah, I guess we should, since that is the reason why we're here. So to set the scene a little bit for people, I mean, we did kind of lead into it a little bit at the start of the show, but Metroid Prime Federation Force is a game that I personally think is very good, but I also completely understand why everybody got very mad when it got announced. Consider the fact that this game was announced during E3 2015. The most recent Metroid game that came out, or new Metroid game, because I think Prime Trilogy was 2009, or was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the most recent Metroid game to come out was Metroid Other M, where we don't need to go down that path of you know, I don't know where you fall on it, Roy, whether or not it's a good or a bad game. I've landed more bad at this point.
I enjoyed it. I understand why a faction of the Metroid fandom does not, but I can tell you that there is another faction of Metroid fan that actually does enjoy Other M a lot.
Yeah, I loved it when I played it at launch, and I think it has aged very poorly. Still looks really good for a Wii game.
Yeah, it does. I still like the gameplay. I'm not a huge fan of the story, but I really enjoy the way it plays.
It
if I skip
fun.
The cutscenes, I have a lot more fun with it.
But that was the last Metroid game. It was August 2010. We're in June 2015. It has been 8 years since Metroid Prime 3, since the last new Metroid Prime game. It had been, I don't know, what, 13 years since Metroid Fusion, a little less since Metroid Zero Mission. Basically, it was a series that, you know, I think all three of us would consider ourselves varying degrees of fans of the series. It just wasn't well loved. There weren't a lot of games in that series at the point. There was nothing in the hopper. It was Smash Brothers was it for Samus. And so we get to E3 2015 and Metroid Prime Federation Force is announced. And as someone who just spent some time rewatching some of the treehouse footage of Metroid Prime Federation Force, which honestly, it's you know, well, I think they had like four people from Treehouse and like one person kind of talking over them and talking to them while they played. But it's like four people having a blast playing that game. And that is the optimal scenario to play Metroid Prime Federation Force, is with four people where you can kind of, you know, pal around and bullshit with each other. And I think they just did such a bad job of making it clear why this was important to be a Metroid game.
Have they made it clear yet?
No.
Yeah.
I look back at it like, what was the process? Like, I don't even really know. I mean, I guess maybe Metroid Prime 4 is going to be like, actually, Federation Force is the most important game of the series. Like, okay, Silex shows up, spoilers. But like, other than that, like, this serves no purpose other than it was probably that Nintendo was like, we should get some online multiplayer games on 3DS. And Tanabe was like, this is my chance. I think
I think his rationale was that he wanted to sort of expand the Galactic Federation's role in Metroid ahead of a future game where they would play a role, a larger role. So he kind of was hinting in interviews around Federation Force's announcement and release that that was his plan. Of course, we don't know if now that he is working on Prime 4, if that is still the plan. But yeah, I think it does, it serves a purpose in terms of world building, but the average Metroid fan, if they don't really care about that, might not appreciate Federation Force as much.
Yeah, he does. I do remember him talking at the time. This might have even been, so they had the initial reveal, and then like the following year, there was like an extended trailer for it where Tanabe kind of gave like a very earnest pitch for like, no, this is good. And I think in that he talked about how he's like, this is something that like this is something I've wanted to do for a long time. Like, but yeah, I do wonder, given how it did, if whatever story he had, like if the relevance of it is something that he's carrying forward, or if he goes, well, that didn't work, and move on to something else.
It really would be the kind of thing that I would be fascinated to like get. And also, I've realized we just referred to Tanabe without explaining who he is for anybody who doesn't know. Kensuke Tanabe is a longtime producer at Nintendo who, relevant to this discussion, is the producer of all of the Metroid Prime games and has worked pretty much intimately with every, you know, Retro Studios, with NST for Metroid Prime Hunters, and with Next Level Games for Federation Force. Like, he is the connective tissue across the entirety of Metroid Prime.
He's the Sakamoto of 3D Metroid.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate because I think the base concept and the base gameplay of Federation Force is honestly pretty fun, but it just, the context of its release is going to forever damn this game.
Right. Because if had it been released as, you know, the problem is Nintendo doesn't have a lot of first person shooter IPs to tie
or even
it to.
Sci-fi IPs that they're doing. I mean, like, even if like Star Fox Zero was coming out and they're like, this is Star Fox Federation Force, like that would have, at least, because you would have had like, here's the game that you want, here's the weird spinoff.
Well, and also with Star Fox, they could have not had Star Fox Zero and just gone, here's Star Fox Federation Force, and everybody would have been like, yep, that's about how Star Fox games work. It's just whatever.
Yeah,
we'll go with it. But yeah, I do wonder, like, yeah, if it had been, you know, a Splatoon Federation Force, if it would have done better,
probably
than having it tied to that Metroid name, that it didn't immediately to everybody register why it was tied to that. Apparently, this was I was reading an interview, I think it was with Tanabe, that this game spent a little time in development early on, being a possible Wii U game as well, before it was moved to 3DS, which would have been fascinating to see.
We would have actually had a Wii U Metroid game, because like the
N64, erase Metroid Blast.
Like the N64, it skipped a generation.
Yeah.
It probably would have had, like, I think the whole like chibi art style was, I do think this was a good decision, but I feel like a lot of that just came from, you're playing on a 240p screen, making the characters chunky and easy to read. Good idea for a low resolution screen.
That was the right decision for the platform, but probably the wrong decision for the viability of the game.
But yeah, you have to imagine, like, if it had been a Wii U game, would it have had like a Metroid Prime art style? Like, would we have gotten a Metroid Prime HD art style early on, had that gone through, which is interesting to consider.
Probably. And I mean, like, that's, oh man, I think the alternate history of this game being a Wii U game, it's probably still a failure.
Oh, it would have bombed there too.
But yeah. It is fascinating to think of, like, because it's also something that makes it very, very much stand out on 3DS, is how even when Samus does show up, like, it is an unfamiliar form because of the chibi art style. Like, it's basically Funko Pop Samus.
She shows up.
and like, I definitely say Funko Pop derogatively, but I don't mean, I like, she looks fine in the game, like it fits in with the art style, it makes sense.
Now you make me want a Funko Pop Samus.
I would kind of buy it.
Well, and the best part is about a Funko Pop Samus is that because of her helmet, you wouldn't have, the worst part of Funko Pops are their shark eyes. So if you have a character with a helmet on, like when you get like a Boba Fett Funko Pop, it looks great. So Samus would be in that same category of you wouldn't be able to see her eyes. And so, you know, it'd look okay. Zero Suit Samus, though, would be terrifying.
That would be a little cursed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, with Federation Force, you know, Nintendo made that play when they I think it was around when they announced the August 2016 release date. They were basically Tanabe just pleading with the audience, like, please give this game a chance. And it is, you released an online heavy game on 3DS, a platform that doesn't really connect to most normal Wi-Fi standards in 2016, and is, you know, a platform that was already 5 year old tech when it came out in 2011. And now it's 5 years after that.
Well, I will say on that, Federation Force actually has very stable online.
Yes. Yeah, it's very functional.
Outside of the wonderful Discord that Shine Sparkers is organizing right now, that I joined, but just didn't have time to join up with any of the play sessions. But the online itself is great. It's just that I don't remember if I ever actually got into a four-person random match within days of launch.
I definitely did. I will say that around the launch, I was able to hop online and play with randos and have a full
party. I don't think
it
lasted that long. Like, it is that weird thing where I think, like, Kid Icarus Uprising, you can still find people playing online. I don't think that's the case for Federation Force anymore.
You occasionally find one or two random players, but never a full party. In fact, and
it's just Tanabe.
Yeah. it's possible. I don't know. Actually, this does give me a chance to plug the server that we set up.
Yeah.
So this was an idea that Darren had, our creative director, to set up a public Discord server for Federation Force fans called Operation Golem. We had for about 2 months, we ended at the end of last month, we would have weekly sessions where we'd play like three missions for 2 hours and then Blast Ball for 1 hour. So we had a bunch of ambassadors, including him, myself, some of our friends from Shine Sparkers, and some from the community, basically hosting games and having people join in, and we would help them make progress. Some of them hadn't beaten the game, some of them had, and they wanted extra medals. By that point, because I had played privately with some friends, I had all the medals, which some of the missions are not fun to three medal, I will say. Specifically mission 4.
Especially if you try to do it solo, because there are no checkpoints in that game.
That is the roughest part when playing it solo. Like, even like I played the first couple missions within the past couple weeks, and yeah, that even with that modifier to, you know, have damage and double damage that you give. Oh god,
you actually get bonus points for not using that.
Yes, which I did.
I did it for like the first or second. I think I did it for the first couple stages just because I was like, let's see how far I can go. And it didn't last that long.
Well, and that's so both Neil and I reviewed this game for different websites. And in the barren isolation of the review period, like, Neil was the only other person I knew who had it to possibly play with. But I played through most of the game solo. And I maintain that, like, it's totally possible to do solo. I think it's fun solo, but it takes on a very different form of being just a hard, difficult. It becomes Dark Souls when you try to do the entire thing solo.
But I would.
It does.
I think playing with two players might be harder, just because, or at least if you are playing solo with the lone wolf modifier,
because
or whatever.
If you just do two players, it's balanced as if you have four players. Like, once you enter multiplayer, it is balanced for a full party. So yeah, we did
It was really hard, we played a good chunk of the game two player,
but yeah, it was difficult.
Yeah. And then I just remember when we actually played it with three or four people, it was like night and day. We're like, wow, like I don't think our skill went up. I think it just became easier.
Granted, by that point, we're like gods because we've been playing solo.
I think by design, Tanabe wanted the game to always be balanced as if it's the full party, even if you are playing by yourself. So that is why a lot of missions were hard. I did find going for three medals, some missions were actually easier to three medal if you did them solo. Like specific ones I can think of are missions 2, 4, and 13. 13 is awful because you have to collect the artifact things.
Yeah.
So you have to shoot them and pick them up, and you can't shoot while you're holding them. You move very slowly. If you have drones with you, if you're playing alone, they can actually carry that for you. And every mission has a bonus objective. That one is to not touch any gas. So there's this large chamber in front of your ship where you take the artifacts that has gas that comes out at different intervals. So if you touch that, you lose out on a points bonus. But I found that you actually can still get three medals if you kill enough pirates in the mission. Because the longer you have the artifact, the more pirates show up. So you just keep killing pirates and you can make up the difference.
Well, I remember the mission I had the most trouble playing with randos was, I don't remember exactly which level it is, but it's the one where you have to like push the mine carts and there's like lightning outside and you have to get them between Okay. Yeah. You have to get them between like the specific shelters. And every time I would play, like I'm doing it. We're like, okay, we got to go to this shelter and stop. Every time I'm playing with randos, they're like, I'm pretty sure we can make it. And they just start pushing it out. And it's like, dude, no, stop, come back. So yeah, depending on who you're playing multiplayer with, it can make the game much harder.
The key I have found, and my friends have found, is communication.
Yes.
You have to have a plan ahead of time, and you have to execute the plan and know exactly what you have to do. So whenever we've done mission 16, which is the fight on the skiff, you're fighting against this massive warship. We always had two people pushing the spheres to launch at the ship and two people shooting down drop ships and enemies and such. And we had a much easier time of it, because if you're all sort of winging it, then you just get killed by onslaughts.
And I think that's, I mean, it's kind of a weakness of the game in that it is like, I mean, you are correct, it is a like a tactical shooter. You need to have strategy going in, but in classic Nintendo style, there's no voice chat, so unless you're playing with friends over Discord or something,
which then, is like, what we did.
And I'm trying to remember,
I don't think we were using Discord. We talked on something. It might have been
we
Skype.
Probably talked on Skype. It was a different time. But I'm trying to remember, did Federation Force even have the, it didn't even have like the emoji stuff that Triforce Heroes had, did it?
It had messaging. So you could, with like the D-pad or something.
That's right. Yeah.
So you can have it, you can have your character say, over here, good job.
Yes.
Nice paint job.
Oh, my brain had like blocked off that part of my, I forgot that that's how it worked.
Yeah, Nintendo voice chatting has always been one of their weaknesses.
And that's what's so, that's why it's so funny that Metroid Prime Hunters had it. They snuck it through and Nintendo was like, all right, well, you're done.
Did NST just like a rogue developer was like, I'm going to put it in. They're never going to find it.
It's like the multiplayer in GoldenEye. Like one guy just like snuck that in there. And then that's Nintendo, if you're going to make a multiplayer game where you have to communicate, you have to give me the option to communicate. Like that's a key like little predetermined messages and emojis of Link waving things in the air does not count as voice chat.
You know what's funny about voice chatting with Nintendo? The Switch actually has an app on your phone that you can use for voice chatting. And then Nintendo has done these commercials where celebrities play different games.
Yeah.
Right? So Brie Larson did one, and she was playing Animal Crossing with her sister, communicating over Zoom or Skype or something. So even in a commercial for the Switch, their own app is not being used.
Have either of you ever used the app to voice chat?
No.
No.
Me neither.
It's always Discord.
I would like to point out, John, we literally like run a Nintendo site.
We run
site.
A Nintendo website.
I have the app on my phone. I think I've used it to look at like Splatoon stats.
Yeah, I've ordered gear for Splatoon through it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I've ever used it
and
to
I think
do.
I might have done some Animal Crossing. I don't know. But like that, I've thought about using the voice chat, and then whenever I'm like, should we do this? Usually whoever I'm with is like, we should just go on Discord and cut out the middleman.
You already have Discord. Why not just use that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, in fairness to Nintendo, I suppose, even the last few times that I've played Halo Infinite with friends, I use Discord, not the Xbox's party system. So like, it's not just Nintendo, but it'd be nice if they gave me an option.
Yeah. At least like if you were to play, some kind of multiplayer thing on Xbox or PlayStation, the options to do voice chat on the systems themselves are like functional.
They're there. They're not the best way to voice chat, but they are there should you wish to use them. Yes.
And it's like well integrated. Like you can like hop into parties from like the friends menu. Like it's
well, and what's crazy is that Nintendo has a habit of making a system that is very convenient for voice chat and not using it for voice chat. Like I remember when Monster Hunter Tri Ultimate or whatever came out on Wii U, you could voice chat through the Wii U's gamepad microphone.
Yep. Yeah, and it there worked were a couple games like
great.
That. Doesn't Fortnite? Fortnite, I think you can plug in a headset on Switch.
Yes, but that's because it runs on their servers, not Nintendo's.
Okay.
So there are third-party games that do it correct. So it's like the system, totally capable. It's all on Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know, going back to Federation Force, and yeah, I do agree. I mean, when the absence of voice chat is maddening, but the game did always, like, I can't remember. It probably, like, crashed once when I played it online, but it never really slowed down.
The most I remember, like Blast Ball having some lag now and then.
Yeah, I remember Blast Ball being a little rough. There's a thing it's why like Mario Kart's always great online, because really Mario Kart just needs to have you race fine. Everything else can kind of be fudged a little bit. It does not need to be totally accurate for it to work. But with Federation Force, like I don't have the encyclopedic knowledge of exactly the number of the missions, but I just remember two standouts of there's the one where you hop out of the mech and you kind of like, especially when you're doing it with people, that is when like communication is key to make sure that like the person's not weak and screwed. But that's a good reminder to me also of one of Federation Force's strengths is that there's a lot of mission variety. Like there's a lot of different things to do, different objectives, whether it's, you know, there's like the capturing enemies or whatever, or the stuff with the artifacts, or even that one where you are, you know, kind of going in and out of the mech suit.
Yeah, that is impressive. And something that I don't feel like, once again, obviously this game, like the whole announcement of it was a problem. But even after that, I felt like the marketing of it didn't do it justice, where I remember that being something that surprised me as we were playing through it for review was like, it's like, boy, I'm doing a lot of different stuff. And like every mission is legitimately different. Like I was expecting a lot more missions where it was like, go through this area and defeat all the space pirates. And there aren't many missions like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty much always like you have a goal that is more nuanced than just defeat the space pirates, which I like. And I suppose that's what we should expect from like, in retrospect, obviously Nintendo's not going to do a first person shooter in a traditional first person shooter way, because that's not how they do. But yeah, it's an impression that I didn't get from the marketing at the time and was surprised to see once I was actually playing it.
That's another thing, like behind closed doors, I'd love to know, like, after the reception at E3, did like Nintendo just basically crumple up the marketing plan and was like, well, this ain't gonna work.
Yep, just dump it out when it's done, and yeah.
We'll do the Tanabe apology and give up, which yep. is kind of what they did.
I think they realized that there is a heavy appetite for 2D and 3D Metroid. So, you know, to their credit, I think they, and obviously I don't know what the plot of Prime 4 is, but I think they intended Federation Force to be something to tide us over until Prime 4, but then it restarted development and will come out whenever it does. So
right now we are eyeing that the difference between Prime 3 and Prime 4 will be the same as the difference between the original NES Metroid and Metroid Prime.
Nice. That seems possible at this point.
Yeah, because I would say, yeah, I mean, on a, optimistically, like, I don't, Prime 4 ain't coming out this year. I think 2023 is, if you were an optimist, I mean, that also makes sense, because it would
next year at the earliest.
Yeah, that would be about 4 years, right? Early 2019
since the reboot.
Yeah, since the reboot. Yeah. 4 years, and it's not like they, at least as far as we know, they did not, like, I mean, they restarted development, but it's not like they, you know, they threw out all the art they had.
Yeah, we don't know how much, and I've said this before, but like, I hope someday we get to find out what the previous version of Metroid Prime 4 was. Like, what happened? Like, I desperately need to know what that game was. And why it was at a point where Nintendo was like, you know what? Never mind. Because, like, what? How do you get a game to that point where you just give up and start over?
Yeah, because, I mean, you think about in an ideal world, like if Prime 4 didn't restart development. So this came, Federation Force came out summer 2016. As far as I know, I think basically after Federation Force came out, that's when the team for Prime 4 that was most likely people at Nintendo, people at Bandai Namco, although that was never officially confirmed.
Never confirmed, but like, but it was Bandai Namco.
A lot of smoke.
Yeah.
And credible reports.
Yeah. 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 And I think there were even some other companies that I don't know how much some of that got out there, but Bandai Namco was the main team working with Nintendo on Prime 4, probably starting development in earnest at the beginning of 2017. Even on that timeline, that maybe that game came out last year.
Yeah, but even on that timeline, that game still went through COVID and got delayed too. So.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, that's the thing, is that, like, even if it's the optimistic scenario, and that's what makes me just think about the whole plan around Federation Force. Like, it's just it sucks. Like, because I do think it's a game that, it has its issues in the legacy of the series, but it just came out at a time where it's lose-lose, and because of what's happened after that, I don't even really know how you go into Prime 4 and reference it, because there's going to be...
I hope
it's going to
be...
It'd be, like, necessary. They treat it like Palpatine coming back in Fortnite for Rise of Skywalker, and it's like, oh, somehow, Psylocke returns.
I'd like to see them reference it in lore, like scannable lore, because, you know, Corruption had scans that referenced the events of Prime 1 and 2. So they could easily do that for Hunters or Federation Force reference.
I was going to say, because Hunters came out after Prime 3, right? Or was it? No, it was the year or two
between,
before.
Was it between 1 and 2 or between 2 and 3?
2 and 3.
Two and three, yeah.
Okay.
Because DS came out like the same time as two. So
And Hunters was
impossible. I think Hunters was 06.
Was it that late? Yeah. It was just before Star Fox Command, I think.
Yeah. I think they were like around
the same
time. Which
was the other like crazy long development time DS game.
Yep.
I will say, I hope if we can only get one reference to Federation Force in Prime 4. Assuming that Prime 4 doesn't have a chibi art style, which would be hilarious if it did,
Don't jinx it.
We have no idea what that game looks like. It could be anything.
We have that one piece of art of Samus in a blue hallway. So we know the game is blue and that it has Samus in it. Those are our two facts.
Oh, yeah. Did you both flip your shit when that showed up?
Because they didn't.
I think we had a message where we were like, is that from Prime 4?
Well, because we like, it was just randomly like their banner image on Twitter for Retro Studios. And yeah. I remember, sending a message on our Slack and being like, this isn't key art from anything else, right? Like this, we've never seen this before, right? Is this the first glimpse we've had besides a logo? Like, yeah. But what I was going to say is I hope that if we only get one reference, that we see a realistic Federation Force mech.
Yeah.
Because those are huge in comparison to like a human, which you don't really get the sense of that in the game because it's all chibi.
Yeah.
But like, seeing one of those like actually like realistic would look so cool. Yeah, I just want like one shot where she like walks past the Federation Force and like nods to him while they're playing Blastball.
Yeah. Just have Blastball be in the background.
That's what it should be, is like she should go into a bar on some planet and Blastball can be playing on the TVs. It's the sport of the Federation.
It's like, yeah, it's like Blitzball, but not in Final Fantasy.
Yeah, or Star Wars.
Yeah. Maybe there's an ending in Zero Mission where Samus is sitting at a bar. Maybe that's playing on the TV.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, they won't do any of that, but we can dream. I also need a Metroid Prime pinball reference at some point.
I mean, I feel like you can get that
morph ball level.
Yeah, just give me like some puzzles with the morph ball that it's just a pinball.
I'm actually
level.
Amazed that that's never. How has there never been a hidden morph ball room that was just a pinball board?
Give it time, Prime
like,
4,
how
baby.
How have we made it's it this be a far? Because you could have done that
be a
in the 2D
Prime
ones.
Pinball sequel.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. It's chibi and it's just a pinball game. Everything nobody wants.
In the open world, open, I don't know if whatchamacallit. What do they call Sonic Frontiers?
Oh, open being zone.
Open zone. What would be the Metroid equivalent of a silly, fruitless open world name?
I don't know, but now I have it in my head. I'm trying to figure out how an open world pinball game would work. And I'm weirdly down for it. I'm not sure how
Yoshi's
it happens.
Island Express. The game,
but that's not open world.
I mean, it's a sort of. I mean, it's a Metroidvania game. It's pretty cool.
Anyway,
back to Metroid. So with Federation Force, and if you are for some reason have held out on playing through all of Federation Force, avert your ears. We're thinking about Prime 4 and where Federation Force kind of lies out, and also kind of taking into account what else we know with Prime 1, 2, and 3. What do we think, if anything, could be like the direct connection to Prime 4?
Silux.
Yeah. Well, and Silux has a Metroid.
Yes.
Which always a good idea. I think I would really like the Silux thing to finally pay off. I'd like to know what Silux is, because we don't we know nothing. Like, he is blue. That's what we know as much about Silux. We much like Metroid Prime 4 itself, we know that he is blue. That's the extent of our knowledge.
Yeah,
we're not even sure if he's a he, because one time I think they referred to him as a they, so like,
well,
he could be some weird non-binary alien for all we know.
Tanabe did use male pronouns for Silux in an interview.
Yeah, I think it was the, what was it, a Smash Bros trophy, I think, that used they them pronouns, or called it, maybe it was an it, I don't remember. It used some, I did a video on Silux at one point where I said Samus as Samus, because that's how I grew up saying it, and then everybody on the internet got really mad at me.
As
that is
a
trigger for Metroid fans.
They got, I didn't realize it's, well, and you know what it was? It was because I was raised by the Super Smash Bros. Melee announcer, who Samus. 100% says Samus, not Samus. And so that's just how I always said her name. I was almost crucified by Metroid fans for saying Samus. So I'm sorry, everyone. I practiced real hard and now I say Samus. But yeah, I want to know what Psylux is. There's a
What's his deal?
Yes, there's a weirdly strong portion of the internet that is very convinced that he is Samus's brother.
That's right.
Yeah. Does Samus have a brother in the lore? I don't remember that from the manga.
In the manga, no. But in the 90s, there was this interactive story in Nintendo Power called Blood of the Chozo.
Oh, is that what it's from?
Yeah. So it mentions that she had a younger brother named Solomon, who was 4 and missing and presumed dead. But there's been nothing mentioned about a brother ever since.
Okay. All right. Well, that'd be interesting.
I would support that. The biggest thing I want is for Psylux to have a compelling story about him.
Yes.
Because Ravenbeak, it's been like half a year since Dread came out.
Dude,
so
spoil it. You're good.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Once again, if you have not played Metroid Dread, avert your ears.
Yeah. That twist at the end with Ravenbeak was mind blowing. Especially as a longtime Metroid fan. So if they do something like that with Psylux, you know, if he is her brother or if he has even some other connection to her. There was another theory I read, and this one's very unlikely. How many of you remember Adam's brother from Other M?
Oh, Ian?
Yes.
Was that his name? Yeah. Yep. I think I've seen this one too.
Yeah. Killed in an explosion. That's why she left the Federation. So someone suggested, what if actually he survived and he comes back as this vengeful Winter Soldier type figure?
Yeah.
Which I think could be interesting, and it would tie Prime 4 into the rest of the Metroid series. Certainly Samus's backstory.
Every description that you see of it in like the manual for Hunters and on the old Hunters website and everything, like, most of the details for Psylux are just that he hates Samus and he hates the Federation.
Yep.
So I feel like there has to be some element of his character that he was like screwed over by the Federation or something. Yep. And I like the idea of him being a human, which I think kind of works because like he has very human-y hands. He could be Anthony from Other M. And at the end of Metroid Prime 4, he just lifts off his helmet and is like, remember me? And we're like, no, but okay.
How do you explain his friendliness in Other M?
Well, maybe he just went through some things, you know.
I mean, I think the only thing with that is knowing the little bit of like just division between. I think sometimes it gets misreported as like Sakamoto and Tanabe hate each other.
No,
but I just think it's the kind of thing where Prime is on its own path and 2D Metroid is on its own path. So while I do like the possibility of tying Prime 4 into Other M somehow. I think that one is probably very unlikely, just because I think the story for Psylux, also the backstory, obviously could change. That's never been publicly revealed. But yes. I think there was an idea in mind of what that character was coming out of Hunters and Prime 3.
Yes. Yeah, the character designer talked about having a really cool backstory all laid out for him. And I think even referencing like that's why like Tanabe and other people were so interested in continuing the character was it's like,
yeah,
this is a cool character. But yeah, I am curious if Prime 4 will still occur before, because what like all the other Prime games take place in this very tight window in the Metroid timeline, and I'm curious if Prime 4 will still be in that window or if we'll have skipped over the next 2D Metroid game, because what is it, they're all before,
they take place, but it's before Metroid 2.
Yeah.
Before 2. Okay. Yeah.
Because Metroid still exists.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what? That makes sense.
It can't be after Dread, because after Dread, the only Metroid left is Samus.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. God, that suit is cool.
Oh, I love that suit.
Bring it back. Let us have that. That's
that
where
you
start off.
My biggest disappointment with like New Game Plus in that game was that I couldn't play the whole game in that suit.
One of my friends from Shinesparkers, Glaytrax, says that for Metroid 6, there should be a mechanic where Samus can go into the Metroid suit from time to time.
Yeah. Well, it could be like the almost like the Hyper Beam in Prime 3, where it's like a limited, like you push the, like it charges up and then you leave it on too long, it starts killing you. That could be cool. Yeah, I hope. like, I know Tanabe has kind of said, like, this is the end of, like, the arc that I started. But, like, obviously, they're going to make more 2D Metroid because Dread did Sakamoto. Pretty good.
You said Tanabe.
Yes, yeah, I'm backwards. But, yeah, I want them to keep, like, I'm like, all right, this is not the end of Samus's story because I need to know what happens after this.
Yes.
Because you left it on this incredible ending that, like, I need more. I want to know what happens
I
next.
I still can't believe, I'm in awe that, like, Dread really stuck the landing of almost two decades of hype.
Mm-hmm. The fact that it exists is a miracle.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I kid you not, when I saw the trailer, I screamed and just started sobbing.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, when you see, like, I remember, like, we were watching the stream together, and yeah, that the title card comes up, and we're all like, what? Like,
five?
Like, Dread?
Dread?
Like, like, really? Like,
it says Metroid 5, and then for them to call it Dread was. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, Sakamoto's just like, he's like, listen, I came up with a good title and we're using it. I don't care how long it takes. This is the name.
This game might be completely different than what I envisioned 10 years ago or whatever, but we are using the name. It's a good name, damn it.
Yeah. That's another one, like with Bandai Namco's Prime 4, where it's like, I would love to see if any tests had been done, like, in the DS era of, like, what that looked like and what the plans were.
Something was definitely prototyped.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It seems like there was, like, they never had a firm developer behind it, but, like, they were definitely messing with it. So something exists.
And there's definitely some, like, conflated stories out there. Cause I think it was, I want to say Craig Harris from IGN was one of the people that kept fanned that flame for a long time. And I believe he came out at some point within the past 5 to 10 years and was just kind of like, oh yeah, like I heard about this, but it grew bigger than what I initially said.
Yeah. I think he had said that he saw the story at one point, and then after Dread officially came out, he clarified the story was something like Samus is back in an all new Metroid game, Metroid Dread, which is the biggest anti-climax.
Yeah.
Because here I was thinking he saw a friggin' synopsis of the threat that she would face, or, you know, the Federation is after her, which that turned out to be not the case, or maybe they're holding off on that for Metroid 6.
They probably should be after her.
Yeah. I mean, that was the one thing one of the things that I was not disappointed in Dread at all, but I kind of expected the Federation to be a little bit bigger of a part.
They're probably trying to be less reliant on her, as evidenced by the fact that they sent the Emmy first before Samus.
Yep.
And they only sent her after.
Yeah, she was the backup plan.
Right. And they had to send her after because she's the only person in the universe who can absorb an X and not die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, a convenient, what a
good game. Convenient function.
Yes.
Yeah, I could just sit back and just be like, oh man, the warm hug that was Metroid Dread. Relive it. I hope that in maybe a year, maybe 2 years, maybe three, we have the same feeling about Metroid Prime 4.
Well, I mean, God, Dread I took 15 years to make. So Prime 4 get canceled a few more times, move to a few more systems.
No. Do not jinx it.
I've just, you know, it's part of being a Nintendo fan is the painful reality we must face.
I mean, I can't really complain because Star Fox and Star Tropics and F-Zero fans have it so much worse.
Hey, I've accepted that Star Fox is, we're probably done. As one of 10 people that liked Star Fox Zero, I'm like, all right.
The ace in the hole that you have as a Star Fox fan is that Miyamoto still cares. As long as Miyamoto is at that company, he could have the whim of like, we're going to make a Star Fox mobile game.
But we're losing because Imamura left.
Yeah.
Big Star Fox. Yeah. That F-Zero is definitely dead with Imamura gone. Like, there's no way. So
I think it was Reggie had some BS quote about how like they're probably prototyping an F-Zero right now.
No, yeah,
and as we know, everything that Reggie says is 100% accurate to reality and definitely not just a marketing hype guy talking.
Yeah. I mean, he is more open now, but
yeah,
I definitely got kind of that sense from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very good at marketing. He's a very good marketing guy, which just makes me unable to 100% trust anything he says, because he's definitely always trying to sell me something.
Yep. And right now it's his book. Go buy his book.
He talked about Other M in it, actually.
Yeah.
He thought that it would be a defining moment of the franchise. It was, but not in the way he thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was so busy making that defining moment of the Metroid franchise that he decided not to bring Xenoblade to the West. So, good job, Reggie. You nailed that one.
Or Mother 3.
Or Mother 3.
Because he has complete control of that.
Well, he was like, we already got a game heavily themed around mothers in Metroid Other M. We don't need Mother 3. So
it's a lot. I mean, it is that whole like, I mean, it is kind of his fault, because I have a feeling that because he had that whole thing of like, once the DS was out, because he fought so hard for the DS to come out in America first in 2004. And you can really tell that like America specifically started prioritizing the DS way more than Japan and other regions. And that's, you know, GBA, Mother 3 comes out in 2006. I think Rhythm Heaven, GBA was around the same time. And those were two games that I feel like, in any other time in Nintendo history, those both come out in English. But not during that time period, because that was Blue Ocean Wii time period, where we're not gonna look backwards at the Game Boy Advance. Who would do that? We're gonna move forward with Brain Age and Wii Sports.
Yeah.
I mean, they were financially probably right.
Yeah. It's hard to argue with the success of the Wii.
Yeah. Or the DS, for that matter.
Yes, but very easy to argue with the lack of success of Federation Force.
Yes. So as a close, since Metroid Prime Federation Force, a game that we partially talked about for most of this podcast about it, Federation Force is right now the last that we've seen of the Metroid Prime series. And going forward, we're in a world where there is a pretty sizable rumor of a, you know, Metroid Prime, whether it's the first game or the trilogy, coming out in remastered form. Metroid Prime 4 is in development at Retro Studios. Maybe we'll see some of that in the near future. Here's hoping. But I guess, Roy, I'll ask you, what do you hope to both see out of the Metroid Prime series going forward? And also, in your heart of hearts, what do you want Metroid Prime 4 to be?
I want it to take the Prime series forward. I don't know if it will lead into another trilogy or if it's going to be a one-off that concludes Prime and leads into Metroid 2 or Samus Returns directly. I want it to basically be on par with other games on other systems. You know, it should be Metroid's Breath of the Wild, I think. Just familiar, but also taking it in a whole new direction with high quality music, gorgeous environments, and the same epic boss battles that we've come to expect from the trilogy, because the boss battles are like one of my favorite parts. And as I was mentioning earlier with some of the lore, I want to see references to corruption, or, you know, maybe there's a cutscene that shows the effects of the war on FaZe, and maybe some connections to 2D Metroid, as much as they can, considering, you know, Super Metroid hasn't happened yet and such. Yeah, basically what I want is Breath of the Wild for Metroid. I'm not saying it has to be open world, but it has to revolutionize Metroid Prime and basically validate the fact that we've been waiting for another one for over a decade now.
Yeah, I agree with that, and that aligns with what my hopes are for it too. I mean, that's kind of, it's the default answer for if you were to like ask me, oh, what do you want out of a new F-Zero? Well, a new F-Zero, I want Yakuza F-Zero. That is my demand. but like for a lot of other, it's like, oh, you know what they did with Breath of the Wild? Like do that, like rethink what it means to be this kind of game. Like I think that in a way, Pokemon Legends Arceus, while I think some of the direct correlations to Breath of the Wild fall flat, I think the idea of like Legends Arceus strikes me as a game that they were like, okay, we're making a new Zelda or a new Pokemon game in 2022. What is that? And I feel like that's how they kind of arrived at that. And that's kind of the same way that they arrived at Breath of the Wild. And that's what I want to see out of Prime 4 is just give me like, I think you kind of got to go open world with it, but maybe not in the way, like, I guess, like, for lack of a better term, you don't need to go the Ubisoft open world route with it. I think
please,
the original games, I think honestly, like the original Prime trilogy, they're kind of open world games in a sense.
I mean, Prime 3, they've talked about how that they experimented with doing open world for that. And it was just, you know, hardware limitations ultimately that kept them from going that way. So there is, you know, that's obviously a very literal interpretation of do Breath of the Wild for Metroid. But like there does seem to be interest in that. And I do think that Super Metroid is, we kind of hinted at this with Yoko Island Express, but like I think Super Metroid is kind of open world.
Yeah, you know,
it's 2D, but it's very just, I mean, some of that is sequence breaking and stuff, but there's a lot of freedom as far as where you can go. And yeah, I would agree that like especially the first Metroid Prime is kind of, I mean, it definitely unlocks as you go, but there's a lot of freedom to go the wrong way.
Yeah.
So I think that could potentially work. But we'll see. I want it to be good. That's it. Like it's a very hard game to live up to. Like living up to the Metroid Prime trilogy is hard, and I think you have to do something different. I don't think you can just do Metroid Prime again. You need to, like you said, Roy, you need to move it. Like it has to move forward. It can't be a retread of what already worked.
Like it should feel familiar, but not too familiar.
Not identical. Yeah. Like it shouldn't just feel, you shouldn't be on Talon 4 again or an equivalent of it. Like you need to make it feel distinct, which I mean, I think a good comparison is how Metroid Dread feels compared to previous 2D Metroid games. And that I think that does take it's a different take. It's something unique, even if a lot of the fundamentals you could say like, oh, it's still like a side scrolling 2D Metroid where you're looking at a map and you can do some sequence breaking and there's bosses and there's upgrades. Like do something like that, but with Prime 4. And it's a cop out answer, but like just do something with it that I wouldn't have thought of right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that might just about do it for our discussion on Metroid Prime Federation Force and just Metroid and Metroid Prime in general. Roy, do you have any parting words related to Metroid or even just other Nintendo things as well?
Yeah, basically Metroid is my favorite franchise of all time. A few years ago, I got the Screw Attack tattooed onto my chest to show how much I love Metroid. I love doing the stuff we do at Shine Sparkers. I love taking on different projects on Wickedroid. I'm very optimistic about the future of Metroid. Prime 4 is coming eventually. And Dread has done well enough, and there is hunger for a sequel. So I think that, and I've said this a few times within the community, I think Metroid is back and it's here to stay.
Yes, we are definitely in a new age for Metroid. We're through the dark times, it seems.
Of course, I say that, and then assuming there's a direct coming for later this month, Federation Force 2 Electric Boogaloo gets announced.
Listen, I'll
featuring Knuckles, Dante from Devil May Cry, and Funky Kong.
But at the same time, like, we'd all buy that game, right? I mean, that sounds amazing.
I would buy it because it's Metroid.
Yes, It won't have Samus in it, of course. But, you know, still, Psylux will be at the end.
Yeah, as a teaser to the eventual Prime 4, and then that comes out in 2028.
Prime 4, yeah, it's just, that just keeps getting delayed, and there's just a new Psylux tease every 2 years. We see, we're going to see Psylux's other shoulder, then like his right leg. It'll be great.
Psylux will be in like a Smash Brothers stage.
But just the edge of him, not all of Psylux. It's just if you go all the way to the edge of the screen, then you can see like the left half of Psylux.
Yeah, you can see like his arm like frothing milk for a latte. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us, Roy. Go check out Shine Sparkers. You won't regret it. I think it's the best Metroid fan thing out there, in my humble opinion. And yeah, follow us at ConnectivityNWR on Twitter and email us any questions specifically about Metroid Prime Federation Force. And if there's any specific ones for Roy, we'll funnel them over to him or bring him back. Who knows? Maybe we'll have a lot of Metroid news to talk about in a week or two. That would be really fun. Email those questions to connectivity@nintendoreport.com. John, thank you as always for joining me.
And, of course.
We'll see you all next week when maybe we're talking about a direct, or maybe we're just talking about some like new.
I mean,
new
we'll games be talking about the Xbox Direct.
Yeah, we probably will be. In Summer Games Fest, baby.
Perfect Dark, please.
It's probably not happening. But anyway, bye.
Let us stream. Bye.
This was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.